Hey there, welcome to today's workshop call. Great to have you here. We are going to be diving deep into a new growth zone this month. And we have about 90 minutes together, so we're going to spend that time on a high level look at this growth zone and then dive a little deeper throughout the month as your questions come up inside of the group. Susie here, so great to have you here. I know there's some people who are going to be listening to the recording. We've missed you. And let me know if you've got any questions after you take a listen that we can answer for you in the group. Hope you're well. I'm working from home today, and the city has decided to beautify the streets outside by putting in garden beds. That unfortunately means that periodically they will fire up the whatever those pieces of machinery are that they cut up the pavement with, but also predictably they will stop for a smoker or a coffee or whatever. I know that's very cliched, and I shouldn't put all those work people in that box, but I'm hoping they're taking a good early lunch break soon. And either way, I'm hoping that you can't hear it too much. Quick shout out to a couple of people who did let me know that they weren't going to be here today. The lovely Deb. Now, I know Deb is pitching for a big deal with her products, putting them into a hotel. And so fingers crossed for you, Deb. Let us know how that's going. Sonia Falordo may be late or may not be able to make it at all today. Laurel is traveling this week. She posted that she's in Alice Springs. She's got a meeting at Uluru about 460 kilometers down the road to progress her new audio guide there. She said she's a little nervous, so we're sending her lots of well wishes. And Diane Irving is missing the workshop, listening to the recording, has clarified her project plan and will post an update. And wanted to say a big thank you to Fran Pratt, who has been doing some accountability work with Diane. You are such a gem, Fran. And thanking her for her stellar sales advice for Diane's solar business, which is the business, the family business that she has with her husband, and saying, and she says, and for literally lifting me up and making me feel like a tall tulip, moi, she says to Fran. So love seeing that support inside the group. Let's go ahead and show your cameras. I've got you guys on my iPad over here. So let me see if I can see y'all. Let me mouse over there. Yeah, great. Great, great. Oh, and there's Fran. Oh, did you hear that acknowledgement, Fran? Great. Awesome. 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 Great. So hope you're all doing well. Just in the chat box very quickly, in one or two words, describe your mood. One or two words, describe your mood. And while I'm waiting for those to come through, there was a woman I used to work with. I worked with her for a number of years, and she was kind of a mentor slash therapist, if you like. And we would always start our sessions with describe your mood level. And it was really interesting, the difference between how when I went into a situation and on the other side, how my mood would change. And I've become a big student of noticing mood and noticing my own mood and knowing that my thoughts and my actions will really shift that mood if I wanted to. Or I can be really stubborn and stay in a particular mood because I want to, even if it's not a favorable one. So we've got determined, mixed today, says Ange. Focused, Maria, motivated, excited, but no, I have lots to do, says Fran. Yeah, a bit out of touch with the group as I've been moving house, says Kay. We have definitely missed you. I definitely have noticed that you have not been there, but I knew that you bought this fabulous house that you wanted to renovate. Francine's focused. Anna's technologically challenged, unlike you. Determined, focused, in a good mood today. Lots to do, says Joe, and relaxed, says Selena. Wonderful. Terrific. Pulled in many directions, says Julie. I hear you. I hear all of you. So let's dive in and see what we've got coming up here today. So we are going to cover off a couple of ideal moments, things that have been happening in the group. We're going to look at how to design products that your clients will love. And as I said, we're staying pretty high level on that today. We've got some study tasks, some news about what's coming up next because next month is implementation day. And if we have time, we will address a couple of questions. But just as we're going along, just pop your questions in the chat and I'll try and answer them as we go in case we don't have time later on. So a couple of ideal moments. The lovely Karen is back here today. And as we know, she did not make the last Q&A because she was picking up her special award, and she posted a photo of it here. So she set herself a target in business, and if she got it, she would buy a new car. She's got it. She's so excited, she says, to set some goals and tick them off. Absolutely, absolutely. And this is a post, it's a little older, but I brought it back up today because we are getting close. We are less than a month away from being together in Melbourne, which I'm hoping is not going to be freezing when we get down there. I've booked my airfare, I've booked my hotel room, and I hope you have too. We are planning, the team and I are planning a fantastic day for you. I'm going down a little early. I'm going down with a girlfriend whose birthday it is that week. We're going to do a couple of Melbourne restaurants and things, and then I'll be there and ready for you on the Tuesday. The weather's getting better, says Selena. Great. So remember to book your airfares and get that organized. If you're going to bunk in with someone else in the group, coordinate that or whatever it is that you're going to do. But all the event details are inside of the Facebook group, and the team will be emailing you further details as we get closer. Judy posted this great post. I think it might have been yesterday, Julie, that she says she got really clear. She said she could hear me saying to her the phrase, "We are not for you," as it relates to some particular clients. And what she found was that working with a client, two of the painters were relieved to be able to say, "We are not for you," because they wouldn't, he wouldn't allow, this client was a man, would not allow them to prepare the surfaces properly. And so within weeks, the paint would have been falling off. And being able to say, "We don't paint over unprepared surfaces," really put a line in the sand as to who she was and who she wasn't as a business. And someone else might think, "Oh, well, that's what the client wants, I'll do it." But knowing it reflected on her and realizing, which I loved, that this could be a campaign educating homeowners on what poor workmanship looks like in their home and how it devalues their home and how it really wouldn't work for them. And so I did respond to that this morning with an idea on a lead magnet that you could use, or it could be a blog post title just around helping people identify, you know, the things they should look for when they are hiring someone that has your services, which I'm going to say is painters for now. And here's why that's really important. When you create a lead magnet that says five things, you know, to know before you hire a painter, you're already speaking to someone who has an intention to buy. That's very different to a lead magnet that is, you know, 10 colors that will make brighten your living room, right? Someone doesn't even know that they need painting at that point. So you will, whether you do it as a blog post or any sort of content, you will really start to identify the people who are already thinking about painting, and now you're giving them a good reason. The other thing I mentioned is the wonderful Chantelle Gilbert, who owns Blue Gum Electrical in Melbourne. She is part of our marketing mastermind, and she has done similar things because she's in the trades, right? She has an electrical firm. They do solar, they do air conditioning, and she has always wanted to differentiate herself, again, by their customer service. And similarly with solar, there's a lot of dodgy people in that area. So when they're going to a new neighborhood looking to install, she wanted to make sure that she created a guide that showed people what good solar installation looks like, what to look for before they say yes to solar. She's even done a live event called sort of something about solar and secrets to solar. I don't know the right name. But she's now doing live events in a small community area where she's bringing people who are thinking about solar and saying, you know, these are the dangers. And that's what happens when we present a solution, but it's a generic solution, and then we tie that back to our product or service. All right, very good. Enough of a rant there, but love seeing that post. And so the quality of the questions that you ask in the group will draw out this wonderful experience from the whole group. And we're hearing, "So fantastic, Judy. So good to have the clarity of who you really want to work with. Go, Judy. Woohoo. Show them what you're good at." Fantastic. The other thing that I posted this week that I've loved seeing your responses on is about this hour of power. As I said, I love naming things. So I named this. We talked about, you know, what if I was to spend an hour on my project? We talked about that last time we were together. So here is a couple of the things that came out of the hour of power. Firstly, Anita has sold out her retreat, which is freaking amazing. Remember, when we started this program a couple of months ago, for those of you, except for the alumni, of course, there was no retreat. Now it's not only a thing, a what, but it's sold out. It's freaking amazing. So excited. And Frida said that, and Anita said that she's going to spend that hour of power on her table of contents. And Frida Ma, who's part of Mastermind, but of course she gets Ideal as part of Mastermind. She says, great name. I spent more than an hour today working on promoting my How to Stop Your CRM Wasting Your Money and Your Team's Time event, which she's putting on in early September. Right. So that 1 hour really focused can be really powerful. And Christy Lee says, the email sequence post opt-in on her lead magnet, final touches on lead magnet design and content and MailChimp setup. This is awesome. Congratulations. So at minimum an hour, you know, I'd love to see you spend 5 hours a week on your key project. But I think the bottom line is if you can steal an hour here and there, you can really achieve a lot. So congratulations, everyone. Alrighty, we are diving into a new growth zone, not only here, but across the whole of her business for the next month. Idealists, of course, we go much, much deeper with this session here, your Q&A session, and the support you get in the group. And we're going to be applying the Ideal Business System to this growth zone and demonstrate why we want to start with identify and then go through this system when we're creating a new product or we're reviewing an existing product. And when I say product, remember, I mean service as well. So if you've already done the identify and design steps for your products, so perhaps you've identified what it is, who it's for, you've even designed it, you've done your 7 elements of an offer, then maybe what you're going to be thinking about over the next few weeks is engaging. Who or what do I need to engage to either finish this product or take it to market? Act, of course, right? Once you've decided who and what you need to engage, actually taking action, making the offer is part of taking the action, right? So the offer's no good if it's sitting just on your website, if it's not being pushed out through social, through email, through face-to-face, through presentations, et cetera. And leverage. Some of you have got products that are already selling great. So now it's time to leverage. Put a little more money on advertising. Get a strategic alliance. You know, buy more inventory. Oh, someone's line just came open. So this Ideal Business System is the basis of creating and achieving anything you want, including awesome products that your people will love. So we're going to be laser focused, and what that laser focus does is it gets your results faster and with fewer detours, stress and wasted energy when we focus on a particular area. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to stop doing our project, but remember, we're going to be chewing gum and walking. This is part of that. So the growth that we are focusing on is products. And as I said, when I say products, I mean services as well. So we're going to be thinking about all sorts of things like how clearly defined are your products or services in terms of their pricing, their packaging, their design, their innovation, right? And as always, as we move forward, I want you to keep in mind one product or one ideal client at one price point, one buyer's journey up the mountain, right? We'll go further into that. It might be one traffic source. So you might have a product that you're already selling, but what your focus is going to be is on introducing one new traffic source. That might be paid advertising. That might be, you know, doing an email swap with someone. That could be, right, where is the traffic going to come from? So here's what we know from the poll inside the group, that most of you have defined at least one product using the 7 elements of an offer, which is awesome. If you haven't, that's still a piece of homework that you really, really want to do. And what I'd love you to do, if you have an incomplete product that doesn't have the 7 elements, I want you to post in the group. And Robin, if you could just make a note for me as well, I can start that post where you can sort of add your offers so that we can really get it nailed down for you. Because if it's missing even one or two of those things, it can make a big difference to your sales. The other thing we know from the poll inside the group is that many of you have a suite of products that are interrelated. So they are, you know, maybe one's low price, one's high price. They're kind of related to what you do, but not everyone is selling those at the volume that they want to be. And so that's cool. That's what I expected. And I'm going to talk today both about having products that are interrelated, but also products that are not, and talking a little bit about that product ecosystem in your business. So this is about focus on one area of your business, because we can't focus on everything all the time. Last month we looked at systems, and some of you took up the challenge to look at your systems and revise your systems and implement some new systems. And I know, like, Christy Lee is one person who was definitely looking at her systems last month. If you did do some work on your systems last month, or at least it occupied a bit of your brain space, would you go ahead and say yes inside of the chat just so I can see that? In the meantime, I'm going to mute myself while I blow my nose real quick. Excuse me. Yeah, Francine's saying a big yes. Still doing it. Karen, yes, totally focused on systems. Still a huge focus of me, says Karen. Anna James, yes, it's ongoing. Yeah, absolutely. And Chandra says, starting a few thoughts but need to do more. Great. It is ongoing, right? We're juggling these different things. And all eight growth zones are important to a sustainable business. But, you know, we take turns in what we're focusing on. I think I mentioned to you guys last time, I spent a year and a half, almost two, on product development and developing the Reach Retreat and developing the Ideal Business Accelerator in this format, and took my eyes off of sales and marketing just because we didn't have the capacity to focus on everything. So this year's been a lot more about the sales and marketing growth zone. So here we go. When we start to think about products, it doesn't stand in isolation. This is what I love about these growth zones, because when we start to think about products, we do need to think about planning. Right? When are we going to release a new product, or when are we going to upgrade that product, or when are we going to do that product promotion? Sales and marketing, what is the best way to market that product or service? Are there new channels that we want to introduce? For example, do more on social media, or do a live event, or do in-person meetings, or email marketing. And we're also thinking about systems, right? What systems do we need for delivering the product or service, or selling it, or having others take care of customer service? And people. Who do you need to engage as part of this product process, whether it's in the development of the process of the product, whether it's sourcing materials, whether it's creating or including suppliers, or getting new resources, or designing the thing, right? That is the product. So people are definitely a part of product creation. And money. This is really important. What is the expected return on investment for the product? We don't always think about that. We don't always think about, well, what are the margins going to be? Now, someone like, you know, Viv or Karina, or those of you who have physical products, you are going to think more in terms of margins, wholesale, retail, cost of sales, right? For those of you who are in services, this is something to think about, because your time is very, very valuable and there's opportunity costs. So, what is the money? How many hours can you afford to spend on delivering a product or service in order for it to be profitable? And I remember just less than a year ago now, one of our idealists who finished up after her 12 months, she was delivering a high-end program to executive women who wanted to get into the C-suite. But the number of hours it was taking her to deliver the program made the program not viable. Right, so you want to be thinking about these things as well. And technology. So what technology do you need to create or deliver your product or service? So nothing you need to do about that right now, but these are just thought starters. And in a handout that I'll give you after today, you'll have these things to have a think about as well. And of course, we cannot move on without talking about you, right? Because where do you fit in with relation to this new product or service? Who do you need to be to offer this new product or service? Now, that is especially for those of you who are now thinking about offering something that perhaps is more one-on-one, where it's more reliant on you, or perhaps where you're charging a much higher price than you ever had before. I remember Yvonne Shepherd, who is part of the Marketing Mastermind. She offers outdoor adventures, and they're thousands of dollars. They're, you know, a decent price point, but she wanted to offer something that she'd never offered before at a much higher price point. So it took a lot of guts. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of one step forward, two steps back with her confidence to offer that higher level thing. So anytime we put our offer out there in the world, there's a chance people are going to say no. So you, your mindset, how you think about the product, how much you love the product and believe in the product, that all comes into it. I remember when we first sold, it was a $3,000 weekend. It was 1998. It was a $3,000 two-day program, and it was with Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And we wanted, the goal was 30 people paying $3,000 for a two-day program. That to me was just like, what? How are we going to charge people for that? But Robert was so confident in his ability to deliver, in the fact that people would pay for this intimate experience, and we sold it. We sold it literally within hours at a very low priced event because it was exclusive. It was only one time only. He was leaving town on the Monday, et cetera, et cetera. Now, many years later, you know, we have an $18,000 program, which is our Marketing Success Mastermind, which is worth every dollar and five times what we charge for it, right? But I didn't always have the confidence that, one, that I felt that we could charge that amount, but two, that we had clients who would see the value in that. And so we have to be thinking about our ideal clients, but it also takes that little bit of guts. Also, you is moving from one-on-one to one-to-many, right? And we know Francine, we saw in May when we were together, she was very, she'd always done one-on-one. And Michelle challenged her to think about one-to-many, brings in a very different dynamic and requires quite a bit of you. All right, let me see these comments. One thing about the amount of time it takes to set up is that often the initial setup can take a lot of time, but if you can reuse it, it can make it worth the extra time. Absolutely. Great. Awesome. So what happens when we focus in on our products? We can create better offers for our target market. And as I said, we're looking at a specific target market. We can become the expert or authority in our niche known for that product or service, right? Just like Amy Porterfield was the Facebook woman. Now she's the online courses person. Or Anthony Robbins is the, you know, whatever he is. Probably not a good example. He just came into my mind, right? Or Ange is the, you know, digestion person, right? Her products and services she's going to be very known for. When we focus on our products, we can identify trends in our industry before our competitors do, right? If we have that outward focus, like what are other people like me doing, or what are people in parallel industries doing? And I remember when we started to develop our events business, instead of looking at other event organizers who are all doing multi-speaker all-day events, we decided our product was going to be, we were going to build brands, we were going to build gurus. And so we would bring on mostly American speakers and authors. We would publish all their products, their books, their tapes, their CDs, as it was at the time, their DVDs. We would put on their live events. We would publish their book, right? So we created a whole product suite, but very narrow, and represented maybe 8 people at our height rather than having a broad approach, right? So all this is part of identifying what trends are and where you can differentiate, creating more offers that convert, and innovating with your products, right? So for some of you, the focus for the next month might be to take that little thing that you love, but maybe it's a little out of date, and, you know, putting a fresh dress on it, right? We closed the doors to membership for 18 months because I wanted to make some changes. I felt like there were some new things I wanted to introduce. And now we're almost a year into this new look, Her Business Network, but it took stopping and focusing on that product long enough to make the change. All right, very good. So let's go to pricing. This is one of the things that we get questions about quite a bit. What do I price things? And I have sold online products, offline products, $39 products, $19,000 programs. And there's a number of things to consider when it comes to pricing. Go ahead and tell me in the chat, what is a typical price point for you and your product or service? So what is a typical price point for you and your product or service? Like, what is the price point that you sell most often? And remember, it doesn't matter if it's 79 or 790, right? It depends what game you're playing. Is it a high volume, low value? Is it high value, low volume, right? So great. So Angie's saying 180 to 300, Francine 1500 to 3450. Fran is 3.5 to 6. Great. K 1297. Chandra 2500 initially. Love seeing some of these higher prices. Anna, 65 for a premium office space. Is that a week, Anna? Laurel, hey, I thought you were on the road. I'm so glad you're here. 20 to 25, 62 per session, says Karen. 80 to 120,000, says Sonia, right? Look at the breadth. Maria saying 1997, so that's a payment plan. And Julie saying 249 to 1997. I love seeing these higher prices, right? And Anna saying month, Susie, but we go up to 2000 for a physical office. Perfect, right? So you can see the range there. So this can be a real maze for people to navigate. And so people will say, well, do I look at what my competitor is doing? Or do I go higher or lower? So what are others like me selling products for, right? And they're all valid things. Like if you are selling a book and you go into a bookstore, you're going to see what other people are selling books for, right? And you might charge something comparable. But I cannot remember the name of it, but I recently found a book on Amazon, which was thousands of dollars, one book. It was a specialty book for marketers, really high level. Somehow he had earned the right to charge that for a book. But generally, a book is going to be within a range. Are you considering the costs to you to deliver the service, building in a margin? Like I remember when I was working at Virgin in my early 20s and we had the mega stores, you know, albums, as it were, you know, the top 20 chart albums, you know, there was a very, very low margin because there was a big volume going through. But the back catalog, you know, there was a 40% margin. Clothes were more like 100% markup from what you, source them for to what we were selling them. So it really depends a little bit, but you want to make sure you're building in a margin. And especially with services, you want to make sure that you're delivering something in a way that is scalable, that is giving you a good return on investment. Because you can break it down and find you're working for $5 an hour, and you probably don't want to do that. At least you might do it consciously for a bit, but know that that's not where you're going. So are you considering costs and adding in a margin? Are you offering an introductory price? And that is a really good pricing strategy too. If you know you want to price something at, you know, $3,000 down the line, but for the first few people who are going to take a punt on you and try it out while you're trying out this service, you can always do an introductory price. Or you can set a price and use that as leverage to say, this is a one-time only. We are offering this right now because the next time we do this, it's going to be twice as much. Karen says, we are looking at doing a price list to get a commitment of either 12 weeks, 6 months, 1 year. The price will then range from 80 to the shortest commitment to 62 for the longest commitment. Very new concept, bit scary. Great. Can you escalate your price over time? For some of you, it might be time to raise your prices. I love a good price because you want to have some margin. And so you never want to be the budget person unless you can afford to keep cutting, keep cutting, keep cutting. Right, you definitely want to be priced. For me, I like to be priced at the higher level, but that is my pricing strategy. And we're going to talk about pricing strategy in a moment. The other thing that will impact price is where does it sit on the volume value matrix? Right? Are you selling a few things at a high price or a lot of things at a lower price? What you don't want to do is sell a few things at a low price. Right? So will it scale? So again, just being very clear, and we've done this work already, so I expect that you already have your products fitting into one of these quadrants already. The other thing to remember with the volume value matrix is how much touch is there involved. So a university course is very expensive, but it's also high touch, right? There's teachers, there's buildings, there's classrooms, there's lots of interaction. But for us, is there a lot of touch? Because if there's a lot of touch, then you want to be counting, costing that in because you're offering one-on-one. Right? When we're offering one-on-one mentoring, it's more expensive than if we were doing one-to-group. We used to have a program called MentorNet, which was a six-month mentoring program, one mentor, five mentorees. It was a lot less expensive than what mentoring is now, where it's one-on-one. Right? That makes sense, right? You understand that, but you want to apply that also to your own business. If you're selling jewelry online, hey, Karina, then low touch. But if Karina's doing parties where she has to show up to someone's house and it's a party plan and she's selling jewelry, higher touch. She wants to make sure that she's selling enough, that there's enough margin for her to be able to do that. All make sense? Can I get some nods? All good? I'm looking that way because you're on that computer. Okay, great. All right. And with pricing, remember when we talk about specific pricing, you want to be talking about your $5,000 start your career resume package and not your resume writing, right? And that applies to all of you who have services. We've had that conversation before, so I just wanted to touch on it very quickly. So the other thing you really want to be thinking about when it comes to your products and your pricing is where in the market do you want to fall? Are you in the budget side of the market? And there's no problem with that. You just want to be very strategic about it. Or are you going for comparable to the rest of the market, or are you going premium? So for me, with her business products, I do not want to be at the bottom end of the market, right? And so our pricing is designed to be at market or higher because I'm going for a particular client avatar. If membership to the network was $19 a month and not $79 a month, as you can imagine, it would appeal to a different group of people. I want it to appeal to a woman who has $20 a week to spend on her business and for whom that is not a stretch, the car's not going to bounce every month, and who sees that as actually a small investment for her business, but enough of an investment that she's going to notice it on the credit card, right? So does the pricing match your avatar? You really want to do a litmus test on that. Because if I want a high quality client, if I want women who are growing and scaling a business, then I'm going to want to be pricing to that. Does that make sense? All right. So going to talk very quickly about pricing ecosystems. I was very happy to see that you, many of you have products that are interrelated. And you know what? We only need one offer that converts. So if you have one product and you sell a ton of it and that is enough for the amount of money you want to bring in for your family or to pay for the kids' sport or to create your empire, then great. But for most of us, we're going to have a range. And so on this next slide here, this is kind of the ascension model. You may have heard this before, of pricing low to high. And what we want to think about is there an, do we have an entry-level product that people will usually buy first, that the most number of people might buy, that is then a natural stepping stone for them to go to the next level and the next level. So who has an entry-level product? Can you go ahead and say yes in the chat? Entry-level product, great. What price is your entry-level product? It could be what you said earlier, but it might be something different. Like, what price is your entry-level product? Yeah, $479, says Fran. Great. Chandra says, no, I think I need one. Great. Again, if you can sell enough of the higher priced item, Chandra, and that gives you focus, great. But you might have a book on career. You know, you might have something else that is the door opener. So for us, great. Love seeing some of these prices. So for us, membership, if we go to the next slide, is that entry product. Some people will come straight into Reach Retreat. Some people will come, we just had someone join Mastermind. She's never done anything with us, right? She's joined our Mastermind, which is $19,000 a year. She's been a long time listener to the podcast, right? So she's not like she's straight off the street, doesn't know who we are, but she's never purchased anything before. We've had people come to the Reach Retreat. Laurel, right? Had never done anything with us before. So it's not to say they won't, but most often people will join membership. The most likely people for Ideal are members. The most likely people for Mastermind are idealists. So we've just had two idealists move across to Mastermind, Jackie Broman and Katie, right? They just joined Mastermind last week. So this is, these mountains did not always exist. All you could buy was membership, or you could come to an event every now and then, right? And so these were all very deliberately built to have this ascension process. So again, this is, I'm going to give you a whole download today, but I want you to note your questions and ask me about them, because all month we are talking products. So yeah, so you can see here, $79 a month for membership, $497 a month for Ideal. I know members get it cheaper, $1497 for Mastermind. That's the early bird, actually. It's actually $1997 at full price. Right, and, but they're interrelated. So you do, you're a member, you get a sense that we're teaching all the growth zones, but you know that you need more help than what you might get on a round table or inside the group. And so you go to Ideal, we dive further into each of the growth zones. Then your business might be at a stage where you're like, yep, got it, all running, team, systems, all the zones are working great, but marketing is where I can now leverage. And then you see that as a natural stepping stone to Mastermind. So being very deliberate, that this is a strategy. So that's the ascension model, but you might also have this model. And this was introduced to me by someone called James Schramko. He's an Aussie marketer. He's got a business called Superfast Business. And he calls this the chocolate wheel approach, where he has a lot of different products. They're not even related necessarily. And you can choose anyone. You don't have to have done one to do another one. So this is the chocolate wheel approach. So either works. You just want to be clear on what game you're playing and what your strategy is. So who has lots of different items, but they're not related to each other? Can I get a look at that? Okay, Anna says, I can get into a chocolate wheel. Anyone got the chocolate wheel approach? So you've got products, but they're not necessarily related. Okay. All right. Another thing, again, we're talking strategy, is do you have an open model or a closed model? And here's what I mean by that. Can someone buy your stuff all the time, or do you just offer it a few times a year? So how many of you are, I'll actually look at faces. How many of you are sell your product all year round? Some hands up. Great, great, great. And let me see. How many of you have products that you are only available certain times a year? Nobody? Kay does. Great. And I do. So a little bit about that. So you cannot get into membership except for when we open. And we officially open for 1 week, and we're going to open at the end of September. You can not get into Mastermind except for January and June. Now, it depends on what your product is. If you're Karina or you're Viv and you're selling, you know, printing, then you're going to be selling things all the time. But if you're selling calendars, that's a product and service that Vivian only sells a particular time of year. In fact, she's going into that marketing cycle right now because it doesn't make sense for her to sell it any other time. And there is power in scarcity. There is power in scarcity that you, when you look at 2020, which I'm going to start talking to you about very, very soon, you want to think about the cycles in your business and the momentum in your business. And from us, having things not available all the time, does it diminish our cash flow? Maybe, but it keeps my sanity and the team's sanity because we're in different modes at different times. Like right now, we're delivering Ideal Business Accelerator. We are also trying to get new people in Ideal. It would just be crazy making. If we, you know, we close the doors to membership because we want to take care of you, we don't want to be always on the promotional cycle, right? So that is very strategic, and it may not be right for you, but you want to think about that, especially if you're doing your one-to-many, like Francine is for, you know, and I know Fran does, and some of you do, that may you may do that in intakes, right? You don't have people coming in all the time. You do it, sorry, I'm just going to take those out. So that's all I want to say on that. Sometimes closing, not having your offer available all the time, works. The one thing that we have available all the time is mentoring, but we do not promote it. If we do not want mentorees, you will not hear a peep out of us. You won't see social posts. You won't get emails, anything. It sits passively on the website. You know, it's at $1,100, even though you're paying by the month. So people aren't sort of jumping at it because we know that to get people off the mountain, we need to be offering the ebook and the webinar because that gets them up the mountain, but we turn those off because we don't want any more mentorees. And when we don't want mentorees, it's because we just don't have the mentors to cater to them, or it's just going to be a distraction for the team, or even there was another reason that we turned off mentoring, and it was we wanted to change the price point, and that required changing some things inside the marketing. Or because it's actually a very low margin product for us, right? Because there's mentors to be paid and the price of mentoring is really not very expensive. And so it's not a high margin product for us. So again, it's just knowing what you've got and being strategic. Anna says, I guess you can only get a private office when it's available, but not really something I have full control over. Yep, got it. Great. All right. Can you guys hear the roadworks? You can? All right. I apologize. Hopefully they're going to take a break soon. I want to talk about minimal viable product. You would have heard me say this word, MVP. And I just want to explain what it is because this is, it's not that bad though. Thanks, Joan. This is really important because what can happen when we think about developing a new product or service is we get ourselves into a spin and we do not release until everything is perfect. And so one of the things that we teach, Fran calls it minimal lovable product. That's hers. So minimal viable product, this is the type of product that has just enough features to satisfy those early adopters who are willing to take a gamble on you, that has enough product market fit that is going to allow you to get some feedback so that you can improve it later. So this is the membership that you launch and that you may not have got the whole year's content figured out. You may not have it all done, but you're creating what our American friends call a beta version. I mastermind with Americans, and so I've turned to calling it beta instead of beta. But the word beta comes from the Greek word vita, which is the letter B, and so I know the real way to pronounce it is beta and not beta, and I have told them that. So back to minimal viable product. Sometimes we're just going to get stuff out of, you know, out of our heads and get it to market. Minimal viable product is that course you're going to launch that you've only, you say to them, you know what, I don't know if this is exactly right, so I'm offering it to a half dozen people just to try it out. I'm going to give you rock bottom price because I want to make sure it's right. But what you're going to do is you're going to give me some feedback. This takes it to market. It gets it out there. It gets you off your hiney actually delivering it, right? And so for some of us, hitting the MVP might be your primary goal as it relates to creating a new product or service. So offer that new service, try out that new bundle, even if you don't have all the pieces totally worked out. Go Susie, that's great. Oh, this is what I've done with my first Italian shopping trip. Right, great. How many people have you got coming along? I know that you didn't have a, you know, you weren't going to fill a bus with people, but you just said, I'm just going to try this out with a couple of people, right? Three people shopping in Italy with Kay, who wouldn't want to be you, right? Fantastic. You will learn so much. You'll get some photos. You'll have testimonials. You'll try things out. It's freaking awesome. All right. I mentioned numbers earlier. So I just want you to really examine your products and think about, is it viable? Is it product? I know I love this thing, but is it worth doing? Really, really have to think about, are the hours I'm putting into this getting me a good return? Can I get the volume for this to work? Because if a product or service takes a lot of resources or a lot of team time, which is a resource, of course, or is not giving you your ideal business, then you want to think about replacing it or dropping it, right? And over the years, we have killed many of our product babies. It sounds terrible, but you know what I mean? We've got, cannot do it anymore. Is it worth it, right? And so I'm all for giving something a go, trying a different angle. But at some point you might say, you know what, as much as I love it, I need to stop it. Sometimes you need to stop it in order to have the other thing fly, right? So Laurel is building up her DIY guides. She's got other products and services that she offers in a different business that for her to make the DIY business fly more, she may need to just put more focus on that business and sort of wean herself off the other income if she's ever going to make it really, really fly. That may or may not be true, Laurel. I'm just using it as an example. So the one thing I want to tell you about numbers is do not undervalue yourself. There's an opportunity cost. Every time you're spending your time doing one thing and not another, that is an opportunity. You could be at a job earning, for some of us, more than we earn in our own businesses. And that's okay if we know what we are doing. So you want to just know, how much of this do I need to sell? How many hours is it feasible for me to be spending on this in order for it to be worthwhile? And remember, you want to build things to last and you want to stay focused on them. So I'm sort of saying two different things. It's just about knowing what you're at. So if some, you know, Hilton builds a hotel, they build a hotel and then their job is to just keep filling it, keep filling it, keep filling it. They don't build a hotel and then go, great, we sold one night, opening night was great, let's move on to the next thing. And so for all of us, it's knowing our numbers. How many cycles do I need to do to make this worthwhile? How did I go? And not having our head in the sand around finances. We are going to do more work on the money growth zone further down the line. But for now, you know, no. Am I losing money on this product or service? Like I said, the woman who was here in Ideal, you know, she figured, I cannot keep offering this program because it takes me so long. There's so much customer service that I'm just not making any money on it. I have a friend who's she's a healer and she does essential oil healing and some other things. She's very metaphysical. And she came to visit me when I was in New York and she said, I love doing this. She said, but the number of follow-up calls that I get and inquiries long after I've done the service, she said, I'm feeling out of exchange with these clients and I'm starting to hate what I do. And for her, it was like, okay, you got to raise your price. You got to put the bundle together. You got to draw the parameters around what it is that you offer so that there isn't leakage, so that you're not feeling resentful because you're getting too many customer service questions post-service. Has anyone ever had that experience? You sell something and then you feel like, yeah, I'm seeing a few nods. So it's just about us being adult business owners and, you know, putting in the boundaries. So this Ideal Business System is the basis for creating your new products and services. Right? This is, you want to take yourself through this process and identify, you might be just identifying a new product you want to do, or you might be at the point where you are, you know, further down the line. So I want to talk you through these stages very quickly. So you want to be identifying who the ideal client is for that product or service. And many of us have done this. We create a product or service and then we go looking for a client. And what my favorite, Seth Godin always says is it works better when you do it the other way around. You have a particular ideal client in mind and you create the product or service for them. So Ideal, this program that you're in right now, was created for a particular ideal client. We didn't need to do a business coaching program. It was not on my priority list. But what I identified was an ideal client who, as I said, really enjoying membership, really enjoying every opportunity they had to work closer with me and wanted something a little more, something that focused them on their business and working through these growth zones to create an ideal business. So you want to think about identifying the ideal client and what the pain or problem is. And then what are you going to specifically offer? Is it going to be face-to-face? Is it going to be online? Is it going to be a new range of something? At what price point? and how will you deliver it? It might be design. Perhaps you've already identified the ideal client, but you haven't yet done the work of design. So we're going to talk very quickly about that. So this is about what is the product, really designing the product. And as we've said before, remembering people do not buy your product as such, they buy your offer. And we've talked through before those elements of an offer, of price and very specific pricing and what's included and the name and the brand and reversing risk by having some sort of guarantee. The bonuses and the scarcity. Now, I know a lot of you have done this, but some of you are at the point where you haven't done this for all your products, and especially if you're thinking, now I'm going to develop a new product or service. So Chandra said maybe she needs an entry product. Then you want to take it through this. You want to identify who it's for, what problem or they have, what it's the product going to be, and then you're going to design it. You're going to go into the second part of the system. Then part of design is also its place in the ecosystem. Oh, this is an entry product. Oh, no, this is an upsell product for this product or service. It's a MVP, right? It's a beta version or it's a fully fledged product. So just giving yourself a little checklist and know that we are going to give you a little resource where you can work through these ideas if you're developing a new product or service, or perhaps you're at a stage in the system, but you haven't gone all the way through. So the next part is knowing who or what you want to engage and how to best reach them, right? So now it's, well, I've got this product, I've developed it, I've done my seven elements of an offer. Now who or what do I need to engage? How do I actually put some clients through this mountain journey? How do I draw more ideal clients? And that could be hiring the right suppliers. That could be hiring the right staff. It could be finding that copywriter. It could be getting ClickFunnels, right? Who or what do you need to engage? If you are distributing products, it could be bringing on the right suppliers. If you are manufacturing, it could be bringing on the right equipment. It could be right finding the right experts. Perhaps you want to start engaging more clients, but you need to understand Facebook. And so you're bringing on a Facebook person, or like Maria was doing some work on analytics, right? She went to Fiverr. She's engaging in order to be able to move through this system. She already had a particular something she was working on. She needed to engage different people in order to help her move through this process. So now that you've identified and designed and determined who or what you need to engage, you are perfectly placed to act with confidence and clarity. This is where you want to be because you've done those first parts of the system. Now it's time to make the offers, get them out there, do the marketing, put the money down, turn up to that networking event, put on your own event, right? Door knock, put those flyers in the neighborhood, whatever it is. But you've done these other things. You know what you're selling to whom. You know what it looks like. You know what it's priced at. You know what the offer is. And now you're getting it out there. Some of you are at this next stage. Whenever I've increased my prices, no one has ever questioned it, says Julie. Yeah. Price tells a story, right? That's a quote from Seth Godin from the This Is Marketing book, Price Tells a Story. So what is your pricing saying about you? And so you want to make sure that it's saying what you want it to say, right? And I'm not of saying high is always better. You just want it to be saying what you want it to be understood as. So I want to talk about leverage very quickly, because some of you have got products and services that you could be scaling and doing more of. And so leverage is about doing more with less. So this can include things like investing in your marketing to get more leads. So you already have a funnel that works, like a marketing mountain journey that works. Now it's time to back yourself and put some more money down. So if you know that if I advertise on Facebook, it costs me $3 a lead, and if I then nurture them, all right, to get my lead magnet, and then if I nurture them with these five emails, then one out of 10 will spit out the other side. Then I know how much I can put in the front end. So let me give you our mentoring as an example. Every sale is worth $1,188, but people pay on a monthly installment. And so often they'll do four mentoring sessions and they'll stay on. They'll stay on. Some people have been mentoring for years. But if we said that the sale was $1,188, then how much can we afford to put in? And how do we leverage? Here's the problem. We create a bottleneck when we go to leverage that product or service, because we don't have enough mentors and we don't want
Trust me. We just don't, that's not what I want to be doing right now. We don't want to be managing teams of mentors. So we have a small group of mentors and they're great, but we don't want to be growing that part of the business. So we're not going to leverage that product or service. But can we leverage membership? Yes, because I feel like we can deliver great value to more people because it's because of the way that the product was specifically designed and how we deliver it. Can we leverage Mastermind? Probably not. We could probably leverage Mastermind to about 30 people. And at that point, I think it would start to lose what it has. And, you know, we're not even thinking about those sorts of numbers at the moment. We're keeping it right now. Right now, there's 16 women. By January, it'll probably be 20 women. But we don't want to leverage that. So you want to look at which products and services can you leverage? How can you leverage a retail business like yours? Great. So you might find, Karina, so tell me, how would you? How could you sell more of products and services in your business? What is already working that you could double down on?
You want me to talk?
Go ahead and put something in. Okay. What is already selling well that you could use automation and technology to do more with? Invest in marketing that gives you leads. Recruit the right people to get you out of the day-to-day. Right. So I think I'm answering your question. So you say you want to sell more earrings, which, by the way, loved seeing your earrings on members' ears. My holes have closed up in my ears, but I am going back. I feel like a little girl going back to get them pierced again because I have all these earrings that I can't wear because I let the holes close over. Right. So Chandra, okay, let's give Karina some ideas. How could she leverage what is already selling well? Earrings. 3, 2, 1, go. Bundle up, says Anita. Right. So I'll go back to the things I said. Invest in marketing. That gets you more leads. So put some money where you're going to get more people like the ones that have bought, right? So you might have a list of people who have bought earrings. You can create a lookalike audience in Facebook of more people like them who might want earrings. Can you invest in automation and technology? And that might be for your front end. Right, you're already investing in your website, but maybe there's a way to, right? Here's a simple way that you could sell more earrings. People who bought this, right? Now, maybe you could do that in your shopping cart, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's part of your nurture sequence. People who bought earrings, you know, next time you're going to bundle up an earring special. Let's have a look. Do a seasonal membership package, right? Earring of the month. Get influencers wearing your earrings. Partner up with someone else, right? Loads of ideas. So this is because you already have a product at a price that works for you with a margin that works for you, and now you're going to leverage. Let me give you an example. Gillian, who is in our mastermind, she sells sheet music and books for teachers who teach music. And so she created an online store, and when she came to us in the mastermind, over a number of months, she had done a few hundred dollars in sales. And we did a strategy session. It was like, how are we going to build this e-commerce store? So she sells physical products too. And I said, okay, what is your goal? What would be a good result? And she said $10,000 a month. And we said, okay, great. Let's just go for it. And, you know, she focused on identifying the ideal client, designing the offers, and the store, right? She went through this process. She didn't know she was going through this process, but I was coaching her through this process. She sold $10,000 in 1 month. This is now month four of selling $10,000 a month. How different is a business that can go from almost nothing to $10,000 a month? But she knows her margins. She knows the products. She knows the ideal client. She's putting together bundles. She's looking at promotional opportunities. Yeah, amazing. Totally amazing. But you've got to go full in. You go, I know this works. I know this works. It's earrings. They're not highly expensive. There isn't a big margin. But you're going to go, okay, I'm just going down this narrow focus on this product and I'm going to sell so many earrings. I'm going to be the earrings person, right? In so many people. Life-changing. Yeah. Huge change to a business, right? That sort of money, you know, but we're going to start somewhere. So you want to focus. Maybe September is earring month, right? And everything you're talking about is earrings. But you know your margins. You know you've got your supplies, right? You don't want to be running out. You could, yeah, home parties. Again, we're just brainstorming, but there's some great ideas here, Karina, for you. So if you were to focus in on, okay, for the next month, because we are talking products here in Ideal, I'm going to focus on this product range. That focus, especially when you have a business that has a lot of different products, can really afford you so much leverage just purely because you're very single-minded. In the Her Business group, you're just talking about earrings. On your social thing, you're talking about earrings. You're featuring earrings, earrings, earrings. Some strategies are longer term, some are shorter. So as a leader, bundling is shorter term, influencer partnering, arguably long term. Yeah, absolutely. Some things you're not going to crack overnight. Thank you, says Karina. Partner up with a stylist. Yes, we've talked about the stylist. I don't know if you and Kay ended up having a conversation, but that is definitely one to follow up, especially since Kay was also doing a lead magnet on accessories. Yeah. Subscription box, love to get 4 new pairs of earrings every few months. Wow, Ange, you wear a lot of earrings. How about that? Earring of the month. I think it's great. A friend of mine who is part of my mastermind, she does a t-shirt of the month, and she does, that's one subscription she has. The other one she has is, she does stuff with your initials on it. What do you call that when you... You know, the service where they put your initials on things. I don't know. Monogramming. Yes, thank you. And so she has a subscription box where you get things. You might get a handbag, a purse, something. They're all monogrammed. Not my deal, but she sells hundreds and hundreds of these boxes every single month. A lot of work. Like, she produces this stuff in China. She, you know, designs it herself. A lot of work. But the point is that, you know, people subscribe because they want that surprise box every single month. They want, you know, and imagine that. Not creating a new business for you, Karina, but imagine you did try this and not over-engineer it, MVP. You're going to do an earrings of the month, and you knew they liked stones, particular precious stones or particular colors, or, you know, you knew that they were a particular style personality. And so, you know, for me, you know, I wouldn't want gold in my earrings, but I would I'm probably the wrong person to talk about it since I haven't got holes in my ears, but you know what I mean? I would probably want more of a statement earring. I am this sort of personality where, you know, I like to wear a lot of black. I'm a little more on the, I wear jeans and black and, you know, anyway, whatever my style personality is. And so I'm sure Kay has a name for me. right then, you're going to send me different types of earrings. So just an idea for you. But that is leverage. But it's also, you know, a risk. And I know that you so you might want to MVP it. You might say, you know, I'm going to try this for 20 people. If I can get 20 women who want a 6-month subscription, I'm going to send you an earring every, you know. But you want to make it so it works for you, right? I'm an adventuring diva. I'm a diva? Oh, my goodness. Or a classic diva. Yeah, great. Right, in other personalities, I'm rebellious or whatever it is. But the jewelry that I would wear is going to be very different to what Kay would wear or what you would wear possibly even. All right, moving right along. That sounds fun, says Chandra. Yeah, great. I think you've got a good ready-made market with the Her Business Group. For sure. So, all right, that is what we have for you. Once again, the ideal business system is the way you want to go. So find where you are. On which product? Choose a product and figure out, is it something I'm starting from scratch? I have to go from identifying. Is it that I need to finish the design stage? Is it that I really, like, I've designed it, but it's not to market, so I need to engage some people? Or is it, I know everything I need to do. I just now need to act. I need to put my hour of power to work. Or is it leverage? Is it like I'm already selling really, really well? I just now need a partner who can leverage me. I need a strategic alliance. I need to put some money on advertising because I've been too scared up until now to spend any money on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So that is your challenge for the month. So there are some study tasks, and the study task is a product review. So choose a product to review. I will give you these instructions separately. You know, who is the ideal client that it's for? Where does it fit in volume value matrix? Does it fit into my ecosystem? Or is it this kind of random thing that doesn't really fit anymore? And do I want to keep it? Do I not? Is it built out as an offer using the 7 elements? Or do I still not have that piece that might be the, you know, finishing touch? I don't have the bonuses. Or so Sonia Filotto, if you're listening, we looked at your offer last month, I think it was, and you had the bonuses, like you get bonuses, but you hadn't told us what they were, right? Maybe you're still working on that. You want to build that out and use. Yes, you could do it on a brand new product. Absolutely, Fran. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a product review or a product creation. I will change the language on the download or new product development. Making myself a note. Now, one word of warning, no bright, shiny objects. You may have all the products you need. You might just need to tweak them a little bit, right? Give them a facelift. Or you might really want to work on a new product. And it may not be something that you're not going to get it done in a month, but it could be something that you are setting up as your next project, right? I'm going to do a project check-in this week. Note to self, note to Robin, to see how you're doing with your projects. And you might be at the tail end of your project and you might be ready for a new one. So maybe it's about developing a new product or a new service. And that's great if you want to do that. But I will be asking you to, you know, set your sight on something that is 90 days. Because it probably is coming up to 90 days since you set your project, because I think it was May or maybe early June when we did that. So I'll do a check-in this week. So yeah, it may be time to review a product you already have. You know, and I want to know what it is and we can help you. Like, look at the great brainstorming that we got here for Karina. And it could be like, I've identified it, I've designed it, but now I'm really not sure who or what I need to engage because I have these restrictions. It's time or it's money, or I don't know anyone who's a copywriter, or I don't know who can do my logo, or I don't know how to find a strategic partner, whatever those things are. So one of the things we're preparing, it won't be ready today, but it'll be with you in the next couple of days, is this ideal product review or new product development worksheet, so that you can work through that. So when that's ready, Robin will ping you, and we'll also put a link inside of the group for you. All right. So we have a little bit of time. How did we do that? Excuse me again while I quickly blow my nose, and I'm going to open up to your questions in just a moment. So obviously if your questions are around products, that is right on track. And if it's not, then we can address those as well. Give me just a sec. All right, I am not seeing anything in the chat. So if you do have a question, I'll give you a few more minutes. Maybe we're going to finish early today and get an hour of power in working on our products or something. Selena says, how many people do you need to beta test a 6-week course? It's totally up to you. It's totally up to you. How many would you want to test with? 7. Great, then that's the answer. Right? It depends. But yeah, that's a small enough group. You can get your arms around it. You can get enough feedback and ideas and testimonials and all those sorts of things. Great. Joe says, having had one project for one avatar, should I concentrate on that avatar again or maybe go to a different product for another avatar? Good question. Really, it's an it depends kind of question. I would rather you, let me open up your line. I want to ask you something. Unmute. I think you just muted yourself. Hey, Joe.
Well, how are you?
Hang on. I'm going to need these, aren't I? Hang on a sec. Oh, my technology is all over the place. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Tell us about the project you've been waiting on, working on, and the avatar.
Okay, so it was for career changes. That was my avatar. And I ran an introductory workshop to my one-on-one service.
Yes.
And it worked out really well.
Great.
But now I'm sort of thinking, because I'm new to this area, so I have to really get people to know about me. Uh-huh. So I was thinking maybe I could do a workshop for, this is my idea at the moment, uh-huh, for parents of school leavers to help them be able to help their students, their kids.
You said the first one worked well.
It yeah? did.
So why wouldn't you do it again?
I'm not really sure why. I think because it felt like it was just a marketing thing rather than actually a valuable product. Do you know what I mean?
No.
maybe it's just me, but I just felt like because it was a workshop, uh-huh, to introduce my one-on-one products.
Great.
Not really a workshop to add value to the client. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so it introduced people, and then did you sell services off the back of that?
I did, but probably not heaps.
Okay, great. So if you were to do it again, knowing what you know now, are there some tweaks that you could make?
I think it's just reaching a wider audience. And great. Yes. Basically.
Great. So my recommendation would be to park the other one. Yes, it's a good idea. It's another little mountain, I guess. And do this one again, knowing what you know. So for me, anytime we run something once, I learn a bunch. But the second time I do it better. And it's easier to do it because I've kind of already prepared the materials and I know the questions, I know the objections. And so what you're looking for is an audience to fill that next one. And so if your project is, okay, I'm doing another one of these and I'm putting a date out in the future, then the job becomes on, okay, I also need to be creating an audience to get that there. Then you're going to be working on your conversion. So Peter Gillian, who is part of the network, she runs these ageless confidence workshops for women 50 plus in the Brisbane area, specific area of Brisbane. She is now coming up to her fourth. From one to the other, she's now able to track how many people came from which referral source, how many of them were existing clients, how many were not clients, how many converted, how many bought, you know, one session with me because she has a studio, how many bought the annual plan, right? But she's mastering that. She's getting better and better. Anita's spoken at her event, right? And so we're doing one thing really well. There's a guy called, I think it's Russell Brunson. He did the same webinar every week for a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think I put this in the group yesterday. The biggest threat to success is not being able to deal with boredom. And so if we can do one thing well and do it again and again, we will reap the rewards of that. Now, there might be a time when you do want to focus on the other group and the other avatar, but right now it's just got a high degree of learning to do that rather than going back and doing that one again. And seeing if you can reap a better result because your spiel is going to be better, the way that you talk about it. You've got testimonials. You might even have some photos or whatever those things are. So my recommendation would be to do the same better. Just like we said to Gillian, she got 10,000 one month. She wasn't then the next month going to go focus on something else. It was like, no, do it again, but with sanity. That was her goal. I did it once. Now I want to do it with sanity because I did it, but I almost drove myself crazy. And so each month is how much more sanely can I do this and produce the same results? So that would be my recommendation.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Fran wants to brainstorm her new product. Well, the Brains Trust is here. Great. And let me come back to you. Laurel, any tips on calculating, working out your MVP? It is whatever is the minimal viable product. And so what we might do, Robin, is we'll start an MVP thread in the group. And so there we can say, like, I want to do this. What might be a good MVP? So we talked to Selena about for a course, it might be that. For a membership, it might be something else. So if I get a little sense more from you, Laurel, what it is, we could definitely do that. Actually, let me see. I might have time here just to open up your line. Robin, could you do me a favor, just because I'm running two computers here, could you open up Laurel's line? Have I got you there?
Yes.
Hello, hello.
Hello. I'm on my mobile. So it's
yeah, I can see you. Yeah, I can see you. So what is it that you're wanting to create an MVP for?
Well, it was at the time when you were talking about, if I'm juggling other work, like my contract work.
Yes.
So, I just like the question, how many do I need to sell to make this viable? I don't think I've ever done that calculation and since the very start when I did a cash flow forecast, which was years ago.
Right. Great. So you might, I don't know how much you sell your guides for, but you might say, I want to replace one day of consulting a week with sales from my guides. So therefore, how many guides do I need to sell a week to cover what I would earn as a consultant? So that's kind
simple
of
simple as that.
Simple as that, right? Yeah. That is kind of it, but a minimal viable product is just say you were bringing a new guide to life.
Yeah.
And the way you wanted to do it is you wanted this clamshell case with embossed writing on the front and a 23-page printed thing inside. And two CDs, right? Now I'm talking old school, right? That might be the end product. But the minimal viable product is going to be an MP3 that they download and there's a PDF, right? So that's your minimal viable product. You can take that to market and learn and improve. Because if getting to the clamshell with the embossed writing and the 23-page guide, which would be a really strange number of pages because it's not even, but that's beside the point. you can see how there might be a barrier. I need a manufacturer. I need someone who does clamshells. Do I want embossing? Do I not? Now I need cover art. So your minimal viable product is actually the development of the product at a minimal level to get it to market. That's right. Really what we're talking about. The other thing was more around your finances. How many do I need to sell to make this worth my time?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thanks, Robin. Christy Lee, can we have different ideal clients for different products, or ideally should we be looking to build a suite of products for the one client? Great question. You can go either way, again, as long as you're really deliberate. And so our membership product is for women who started a business, and ideally women who are working full-time in their business, but not always, but you know, they're on that road, they're an entrepreneur. That is very different to the Marketing Success Mastermind, which is women with established businesses for whom a $20,000 investment a year in their marketing is reasonable because of the products and services they sell and the business they have. Is a different person to someone who comes to the Reach Retreat, which is a woman with an established business who has reached that point where she's kind of stuck on where she wants to go to next. She's fallen out of love with her business. She's looking for more clarity and focus and a plan to get there. Different, different, different. So different avatar, different product. And the reason we created our product range was for different different avatars. But they're all kind of still cohesive. Does that make sense, Christy Lee? Could you unmute Christy Lee for me? Thank you. Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
That does make sense. I can see your ideal avatars have some similarities, although differences at each stage. And I guess I'm wondering, because I've got a few different products that are quite established, but I'm at the stage where I could certainly tweak some because I need to move away from swapping hours with dollars.
Yes.
Because it's just not scalable and I'm exhausted. So I really want to move away from that, which is what I'm doing with the HR Unlimited, which is the marketing mountain I'm working on.
Yes.
But now I'm thinking about the other products and services, and do I keep them as they are or do I tweak them as we move forward?
Yeah. And you might just park them for now while you finish this product.
Yes. Yeah.
And take that for a test run and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Then you might think, I don't care so much about these other products now.
Yes.
Or the danger we can fall into when we're creating products from different avatars is, think about it. Your images need to be different. Your language needs to be different. Your, you know, maybe even the delivery methods need to be different. Mm. That doesn't mean don't do it. But it's just, it has a different level of complexity. If you're offering something to multi-million dollar businesses, then you're creating a small business product. Yes, you can do that.
Mm.
And I don't want to sort of ward you against that. But if things are complementary, like if you have a product for a business that has a team already, and then you're offering them the entry-level DIY service or the more expensive I hold your hand service, can you see how it would just have more sanity?
Yes.
For your business.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking, to work more towards building out the product range around this ideal client that sits in HR Unlimited.
Right.
And move away from some of the other products that are for a very different type of client.
Yeah, right. That's sort of, I've got more resources, more time, more headspace. I'm not exhausted.
Yeah.
I can then do this. Yes. You know, if there was, yeah, it can be tricky, but that's what happens. We derail ourselves and go somewhere else. So choose the client you want to work with. You know, if you really hated working with the clients that you're building this product for, then I would say switch.
Yeah.
If you like them, then I would just go deeper on what you're doing and then revisit the other things. And there could be a time down the line where you're like, you know, that other product, okay, I can see now how we can deliver that. But it doesn't
be right now. Park it for now, I think, is the answer.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Fran Pratt.
Hello.
Hello. Tell us about how we can brainstorm. We can give you a few minutes to get some ideas on your new product while the brainstorm is.
Thank you. So, I've done a lot of this kind of 10 weeks taking people and kind of salesifying their business and teaching them how to sell, basically. Mm-hmm. but then it stops, and I've had a number of people kind of come back to me. So I'm thinking about how do I build something that I can get a monthly retainer type of thing for. So at the high end, and I was thinking, I'm not going to call them bronze, silver, and gold, but just that's where I've named them for now.
Yeah.
So at the bronze end, it's like, well, I probably could run a theme for the month with some video and materials and things for people to do in a group Q&A at about $79 a month. For the silver, I could add in some kind of sales laser sessions, like if they've got a client who, how do I get this client to do this or something like that. And a 90-day plan. I want to keep them on track so that they're actually doing the discipline of selling. Mm-hmm. And then for the goal, just kind of do more of the, offer them more of those laser sessions and a longer tailored strategy session once a quarter.
What would be the minimal viable product? Because you're creating three different products.
Well, yeah. So what I was, my plan is, which might be wrong, but my plan was, because I've had a couple of people come to me that are more,
I've stopped hearing Fran. Has anyone else stopped hearing Fran? Hello, hello. Hey, Robin. I'm not hearing anyone. Can you hear me? Okay, is that Fran's end? Okay. All right, Fran, we will come.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, we can.
Ah, okay. So my plan was to start at the top end, at the, and I'm thinking like $5.97.
Okay, back up. What is it that you, I want to help you and use the brain's trust here, but what I'm thinking is choose one, right? The MVP is choosing one back end. In the old marketing days, we used to say front end and back end. The front end product is what you're already offering. The back end is what you're selling them. And there might be three levels finally, but what would be, like, I would choose one now and determine what the MVP is and build it out as a product and go from there. And
yeah, so, that sounds good.
So are we the typical ideal client or not really?
So it's people who yes, potentially. So they've got a business, they're selling okay, but they just don't have the discipline around it. They know that with a bit of, you know, focus that they could do better. And so what I'm thinking of, you know, if you run a, create a 90-day plan, help them execute on that and run kind of a monthly theme that I could then do for all of the people on this plan. Mm-hmm.
That's an inclusion. Like that's sort of the tin tax. Think about what is the transformation or next level of support? What is the problem they have? So, you know, the problem solution.
So the problem they have is they get busy on doing and they forget to sell.
Right.
So they need the discipline around the selling so they don't have those peaks and troughs in their business.
Great.
So it's like an outsourced sales manager, someone to keep you accountable.
Great. It's like your virtual sales manager. Great.
Right.
I love it. Here is what I would do. Again, I know this isn't, this is just my brain really, but because I can't see what else is there. Anita's saying, yes, just one. If I've just invested in a 10-week commitment, then a way for you to help me maintain that, I don't think she means rage, would be great. Keep me on track. Right. So I would love to see you build this out inside of the group.
Yeah, great.
I'd be going for one. And deciding what the minimum is and then trying it out on a few clients, knowing also what is the minimum you want to work with, right? Because if you've got five people, are you willing to do it? Or you go to market and you go to these best clients and you say, you know what, here's what I've noticed is that we get real busy and we get off track from selling. So what I'm doing is just for six businesses, I'm just making this up, right? Six businesses, I'm going to try this out. It's just going to be for 3 months initially. And if you love it, then we can go from there. But here's what it is. Yeah? Okay.
And really, I'm happy to do it for one.
Okay.
Because at the moment it's quite tailored to the individual, and then I think I can stack up the other things.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Very good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let me see if we can get a couple more of these done before we go. Judy, ideas to leverage our painting service. I'm working on offer for homeowners to have their home freshly painted for Christmas. Yay. This is a limited offer, and I'm wondering
I'm wondering, I need to add value. Yes, Judy, I would put this. This is perfect to put through the seven elements of an offer. What are we going to call it, right? What's the price? What's it going to be called? Does it need a little bit of a brand? Like, is it the, someone come up with a clever name because I'm not going to right now. I would love for you to post this. Actually, we can do this. Robin, can we post this question inside the group? And the reason is that I'd love to see you build out your seven elements of an offer. This is great. You're going to name it something. It's going to have a particular, the scarcity is that it goes away. Like, you need to book in by this time to have your home painted for Christmas. And I know what it's like. Trades just disappear, right? Suddenly everyone's like, well, it's going to take 3 months to get that new dining chair, you know, because it's Christmas. And Christmas seems to have started like a month ago in some trades. So this is awesome. So what I want you to do, Judy, is we're going to post this in the group. Go ahead and find your seven elements of an offer and just go for it. And just, okay, this is what I'm thinking for price. This is what I'm thinking of calling it, or I need help calling it something. You know, someone in this group will have a clever idea. Here's what we're going to include. You get three rooms painted, you get undercoat and two, you know, this, you get your choice of colors, or these are the colors we're choosing from. Whatever the offer is, here's the guarantee, you know, it's done in this time, or if it's, you know, whatever the offer is. So that's it. You're going to put together an offer and we're going to get it out to market as quickly as possible. And so that may be, we can then also talk about, is this, are you going to pick an area? Because you know that if your trades are in this one suburb, then that's going to be your best use of resources. And so you might do a letter drop in those resources, or you might choose Federation style homes. So I don't know what types of homes are in your area. The other thing is, there is a woman who is Joanna, and I can't remember her last name, who does metal roofing. Are you in Victoria, Judy? Just remind me. And she is doing a similar promotion on roofing. Joanna Neal. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if Judy's in Victoria. Yes, right. So Joanna is part of the mastermind, and she was like, I want to get this much money in before this period of time. What should I do? And so we picked a type of house in a particular region that usually has a roofing issue, so that she could maximize her results in that area. And so she went out with a letterbox drop and a follow-up system to this area. We're going to be in your area. We're painting between these days and these dates, and, you know, call for a quotation. So you want to get that granular with it. It's like building the offer. Here's what it is. Here's what it isn't. You don't want to just keep it broad. Want to paint your house by Christmas? Call us, right? You want to go, this is our paint your house by Christmas, you know, offer. That's not what you're going to call it. But does that make sense? This is great. This is the type of project I love building out. Great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Great. Thank you, Judy. Beta test, we answered that. We answered that. We answered that. We answered that. Joe has left, but Karen, I'm not sure if she saw that. If you are going to do the workshop online, I can certainly promote within our business. Great idea, Karen. No questions today. I have enough to work on. I'm behind on my projects, says Kay. Kay, I know. I want to hear how that lead magnet is going. We really want to help you get that to market. Got to run. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Awesome. You're all awesome. Okay. Just back to our study tasks, if I could. Just want to go over that one more time. Thank you, Robin. So you're going to do an ideal product review or new product development. You're going to keep working on your project, right? So this is not to overwhelm you. These are just opportunities for you, you know, if it's coming up time to create a new project, like Joe was, deciding what that project is. And is it, for some of you, you created a really big project and you just need to continue on with it, right? Now, Kay hasn't quite finished hers. She's been, you know, doing house things. And so for her, it might be just picking that back up and go, okay, that's right. I'm doing a lead magnet. It's about accessories. Here's where I'm at. I need to figure out what it's called, or I need a designer. I need to write the copy, whatever those steps are. Moving that timeline along, okay, and finding a new finish line. And maybe the finish line could be, I don't know if this is even feasible for you, when we're together in at the end of September. You know, that would give you a real line in the sand to, like, I'm going to have these elements finished by then. Right, because once we have that lead magnet, we want to start driving traffic to it, maybe even collaborating with some of the other people here in the group who have your ideal client, right? There's a ton of those. So using your hour of power to work on this, determining when your hour of power is, and putting your product questions in the group. Sonia says, I've created a small project on Instagram, Facebook for lead generation, and I'll share that in the group. Sorry, being quiet. That's okay. I know you've had a ton on. I want to thank you all so much for being here. I hope you got some good value from today's session, and I look forward to seeing your project updates and your focus on products. Anita, I don't know if you were on when we were congratulating you on the retreat. I am so thrilled for you. So thrilled. It was nothing. It didn't exist, and then it exists, and not only does it exist, but you've sold it out, and I cannot wait. So, great session. Thank you all for being here. I will see you in the group. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye for now.